RE78, the discussion item, and Regent Bustamante, and I think Provost Hume should also be available for this as well. We'll present this item.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The reputation of the UC is an extremely valuable asset. In 2001, the Regents took a stand and said it is not worth jeopardizing our credibility. And on a unanimous vote, the Regents set in place a practice of not investing in tobacco-related stocks through our managed index funds and other investments actively managed by our treasurer. For the record, the decision to divest in tobacco stock was not only socially responsible, but it was also fiscally prudent, according to UC officials. The discussion today is whether the UC should engage or allow the practice of research with direct funding by tobacco companies. This research is not through a third-party entity that are interested in seeking objective results. For example, in 2003, the UCLA released a study regarding the link between lung cancer from secondhand smoke. The findings of this study were used by the tobacco industry to defeat an anti-smoking ordinance in Missouri. State and national studies have offered evidence that secondhand smoke can cause lung cancer. I'm not here to criticize those who conducted the study. I'm concerned about the use of study findings by the tobacco industry. In a recent federal RICO case, a legal statute usually reserved against organized crime, the U.S. government alleged, and a federal district court found, an unlawful conspiracy to deceive the American public about the health effects of smoking. The UCLA study was cited as an example. Research should not be funded directly with tobacco industry dollars. If tobacco companies wish to study the effects of smoking, there are many legitimate third-party entities. We should stand with the heart and lung associations who, quote, allow these companies to affiliate themselves with respected academic institutions, give them cover to continue undermining public health efforts. And the cigarette makers supported research, distorted the truth, and abused the legal system in order to achieve their goals, according to letters by the American Lung Association and the American Cancer Association. We should join the 18 universities across the nation, including Harvard and Columbia, which do not accept tobacco industry funding. In fact, we should embrace the policies attempted by the departments at our own UC campuses, including UC Berkeley School of Public Health and UCSF Department of Medicine. Our 150-year reputation should not be jeopardized. The integrity of our world-class university system is at stake. I hope you'll consider joining me on this issue. Thank you. I believe that there were letters also that were distributed earlier.
There were quite a few.
If they had not been distributed,
they were.
And there were.
There were.
There were.
Comments?
Yeah.
Comments? Commissioner Blum?
In defense of the university and maybe a little known fact, for those of you who did see the movie The Insider with Al Pacino, which was all about how research was distorted, Lowell Bergman, who was the insider, happens to be at the School of Journalism at Berkeley.
Comments at all? Any other comments? Regent Lansing.
Well, first of all, I've kind of researched this report, and all I have is the news thing from 2003. And I certainly would welcome the opportunity for the lead investigator to explain to us how he reached those conclusions. And I don't feel qualified, though they are going against what has later or during that time turned out to be a different point of view. Nevertheless, I guess my overall feeling is that I might not always like the research. It might sometimes be surprising. And often, and I don't want to concentrate on just this one specific example, and often sometimes what seems researched at a certain point in our life as not being true turns out to be true, and sometimes what we thought was true turns out not to be true. So I really believe that the university has a responsibility to not interfere at all with where the funding comes from. I believe it is a slippery slope, and I believe the university does have a responsibility to hold its researchers, as we as citizens do, to the highest standards possible. And if we question research, then we have to question it. Then we, as individual people, have to stand up and say, please, and again, I have not met this lead researcher, and I found, you know, this subject so important that I went back and tried to pull up as much as I could from 2003, and all I have is newspaper reports, so that's all I can say. But I would really like to hear from the researcher, but no matter what he says, I think it is a much bigger issue than that, and I would urge us not to interfere with the feelings of the Academic Senate, not to interfere with the freedom of a researcher to come to the conclusions that they believe are correct, and our responsibility, or I should say the university's responsibility, to question anybody. And I fear that this can be a very slippery slope, because we can question funding on many, many, many different ways.
Thank you, Regent Lansing. This is essentially the prerogative of the faculty, and I'm now going to call on Faculty Representative Oakley.
There are a number of documents that are assembled in your agenda packet, and on page 2 of the RE78 material, you will find a copy of the Academic Senate resolution on tobacco funding issues, which is the second action taken. This was adopted by the sovereign group of the Academic Senate, the Assembly, on May 11, 2005. And it modified somewhat action taken the previous October in that it acknowledges that there are serious academic freedom issues if colleagues or an academic unit inhibit a particular researcher's choice of funding sources, but it does acknowledge, representing something of a compromise among the Senate, it does acknowledge that it's the prerogative of the regents to make a decision about whether a funding source is so tainted that it should be prohibited, and acknowledges that any division of the Academic Senate could request such action by the regents. So I am forced, as the voice of the Senate, to acknowledge that there is a lack of consensus on whether or not, as to this particular funding source, the high bar of overcoming a presumption of individual academic freedom and choice has been overcome. Now, I understand that there is the intervening event of the decision mentioned by several speakers in public comment by Judge Kessler of the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, 1,700 pages of detailed findings of facts of a civil conspiracy under RICO, the Racketeer Influence Corrupt Organization Act, and the granting of prospective injunctive relief. The Academic Council meets next week, and it might be useful to allow the Academic Senate to consider whether or not this is a sufficiently unique case that the slippery slope arguments that are obviously available, but you know, if one source is cut off today, should it be another source? And we all have various views of the demons of modern society. I would interject, and this is not an advocacy issue, but just as advice to you, the regents, that if one is relying upon the legal fact of a set of findings, as opposed to the very persuasive commentary that Judge Kessler provided, one should keep in mind that not too many years ago, we think it was 1999 and maybe off at a year or two, there was a decision by Judge Jackson of the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, detailing in similarly great length that there was a pattern of monopolistic conduct by Microsoft in the tying together of their Internet Explorer browser and their Windows operating system. But that was reversed by the Court of Appeal, and the Supreme Court let, surprisingly in my view, let that reversal stand. So we don't know yet whether the Judge Kessler ruling will be affirmed or reversed on appeal. Things are somewhat volatile in the United States Court of Appeals through the District of Columbia, and so I think we should hesitate to assign conclusive legal significance to that finding, although certainly the accompanying commentary is entitled to great weight, and it would be useful to allow the Academic Senate to consider it as part of this debate.
It would be very helpful to the regents, I believe, to have that feedback and as decisive as possible. Regent Pattis?
Thank you. I too, am concerned, as Regent Lansing is, about the slippery slope aspect of this. However, I think this is a pretty unique situation. You know, all slopes are not created equal, and this slope is certainly not one of those equal slopes. This is a unique situation. This is an industry that has a history of manipulating information, taking information out of context. I don't know, because I was not involved in the negotiation of this process or having anything to do with this process, but I suspect that there isn't a great sense of altruism involved in doing the research, in putting together the research arrangement with the university. I think that we need to, in this particular case, know who we're dealing with, and knowing that is enough for me to not want to go forward with doing business with an industry that that has the history that this one has. I would be very uncomfortable seeing the university, seeing information which may be taken out of context of a university research project being used to in any way promote the kinds of things that this industry has a history of trying to promote. So I have nothing more to say.
Thank you, Richard Patterson. There are no other questions.
One comment.
Chair Farsi.
Well, I think given the attitude of the Academic Senate that it is a, it's potentially a regional decision that should be taken, I think that the subject needs to be brought back to the regents with a little bit more information. As in a lot of things, it seems to me I would characterize it a little differently than a slippery slope. I think it's a balance needs to be achieved here. On the one hand, academic freedom is essential to the vitality of any university, and it is very important that we keep that academic freedom in mind. On the other hand, freedoms are not absolute, and where they at times have to be balanced by equally valuable concerns on the other side. Here, it seems to me that we have to be particularly mindful of the potential influences that money can have. We have that concern in a number of areas. But at the very least, disclosure, transparency, and accountability for what is going on within the spirit of academic freedom needs to be assured. And we as regents, I think, need to be assured that that is happening, so we need to understand that a little bit more. And have to be sure that we have appropriate safeguards within this freedom so that we have faculty that are conducting objective, honest research. That's something that we need to be assured of as part of this process. So it seems to me, coming back to us and addressing those issues, will give us a better opportunity to decide whether in this case, in the spirit of academic freedom, perhaps that we should move in the other direction. I would also mention, it's my understanding that we continue to do extensive medical research on the effects and treatment of smoking, irrespective of whether it's privately funded or not. Is that not the case, Rory?
That is true.
And I think that also needs to be included in the material that the regents have when we consider. And the final point is, I think as regents, we have not refrained from making choices in connection with this overall subject. I mean, we have directed our chief investment officer not to invest in indexes that include tobacco stocks. So we have taken certain action. There are consequences to that. So it's an important subject. But I think that it's not one that we should not, that we should take action on without having this kind of information before us.
I would agree with that.
Regent Blum.
I am somewhat confused. It was always my understanding that the university had the right to turn down grants. I assume if the Afghan co-op poppy dealers wanted to give us some money tomorrow, we'd think twice about it. In any event, it seems to me that when the tobacco industry wanted to give you some money to research the harmful effects of smoking, one at least should have been seriously suspect whether this wasn't just a way of getting the University of California's name on a piece of research that would help them, and where I certainly buy the slippery slope concept. This should certainly be one I would have thought long and hard about before I would have taken the money.
In closing, almost in closing on this item, Regent Lansing has a final comment.
I just want to, I think this is a really, really important issue because and I've made my position clear, but obviously I want the information, and I don't think we have the information, so I agree with Chairman Karski. But when we come back, I think, you know, having been in situations where you read something in a newspaper or you read, you know, something or something is many years ago, a piece of research, and, you know, I mean, the hormones were good, they're not good. I mean, everything keeps changing so fast. So what I'm really trying to say is I'd like to have us at least have the opportunity for the lead researcher to speak to us. I also say to you that one piece of material, and I don't know whether this piece of material is accurate. It was printed in a very respected journal. Journals do not have to take, is my understanding, pieces of academic research. They can turn it down. You know, so I'd like more information on that, but equally as important is I'd like more information as well on what other research the tobacco industry has funded and what other conclusions have been reached. Because it's very possible that there are, and I don't know any of this, so I really want to go right up front, I'm not a smoker, I don't know any of this. What else has the tobacco industry funded for the university? And perhaps there were thousands of negative things, and perhaps there's good reasons for this research, or perhaps there isn't, and then I say it is our responsibility to question it. I think we really need a lot of information, and one thing we don't agree with, or possibly even one mistake, doesn't mean anything. I think we need to see it in a big context. That's all. I think
sure.
We need really a lot. I'm sorry.
Regent Pusmata.
This is not one item
I don't know.
That has taken place in one newspaper on an isolated incident. There is an entire body of evidence and information concerning the public health of people in smoking. And this study, although I'm not here and I don't feel qualified to to talk about the study or the people who conducted it. But the question is going to be for us to decide whether or not the protocols that we have established are sufficient to not allow us to be drawn in and the us jeopardized in terms of who we are as an institution to be affiliated with groups when our own public health people are asking us to take a different type of position. I think you're right. It's a very important issue that has to be addressed, and I would welcome the Academic Senate's review and having them bring back information. I believe it is an issue of academic freedom, but as was stated earlier, there are consequences. And in our particular case, in the last time, the slippery slope issue was also talked about as we changed our investment procedure, and it has turned out more than just okay. In fact, it has turned into a situation in which financially we did not do any worse. In fact, there are some people who believe that we have done even better as a result of the divestiture of those funds. Not to bring that whole issue back up for argument, I think, though, we are in a situation where we have to clearly make a decision as regions as to whether or not we're going to be affiliated with an industry that clearly has demonstrated itself, not only in this particular case, but in a tremendous body of public health information that is not something we can ignore.
I just want to respond. I agree with you, so that we're not disagreeing there. And I was totally for this investment in the Air Force, so that's not what we're talking about. All I'm saying to you is, we just need more information. How many things has the tobacco industry funded for the UC system?
Then let's get it and bring it in.
Let's bring it in. Let's see what happened. Let's give this person, I don't know, a chance to explain why he came to the conclusions he came to. Let's see what we do to prohibit. Because what I guess I want to say is, it's not going to stop. I mean, there's going to be some other piece of research that's going to be questioned, and I want to be sure that we have sufficient controls that make us not be susceptible to anybody or any individual who funds research. That's all I want.
Thank you. President Dines?
Thank you. Thank you, Regent Marcus. I agree that this is a truly important issue, and it is important, sufficiently important, that it requires weighing in of many constituencies. Right now, I believe that the faculty are in the best position to look at this carefully, look at what Regent Lansing is suggesting, that is talk to the researcher, and when we talk about shared governance, I believe this is a really good example of where shared governance is important for the faculty to come back to the regents and to me as well with their considered opinion on new information that has come since they took a previous position. It was already split, and I think it's very important for the faculty to look at this again, because indeed they're probably the most learned on this issue. Come back to the regents with a view.
Dr. Reverend Brown, did you want to say anything?
Just very briefly, Chairman Mike. Everyone always says that, just very briefly.
Well, love it. I hope the question for the regents is not the adequacy of a particular researcher or the adequacy of that person's particular study. I think because research itself is a self-correcting process, where after the vetting process and multiple sources of evidence, the community comes to various conclusions. I think the question here is the role of a particular industry or elements of an industry in influencing the research process itself. I think that's the question that this committee is better in a place to judge, and what role taking funds or not plays in shaping that process.
Thank you. I'm now going to call on Regent Marcus. It's funny, this visceral gut response that, I mean, it's very appealing. I mean, the notion that the conspiracy of the tobacco industry is continuing to undermine our children is very visceral. That really is not the issue here. The real issue is the impugning the integrity of investigators. I mean,
If we have a problem with an investigator, that's a completely different issue. And that has to be conducted in a different way by the faculty. By the faculty. So even though I'm viscerally attracted to this, and I think it was very important that Regent Bustamante brought this up, I can't see how we can bridge this or connect it to DARPHAR or investing. Investing has nothing to do with the academic freedom that's required to appeal for funding from various sources, and wherever that source comes from does not necessarily mean you're going to agree with that source, because we would have enormous problems with the pharmaceutical industry. We'd have enormous problems with maybe 80% of our funding sources if we, let's say, disagreed with what their industry had to say. So I'm going to close on this, even though I think Regent Pattis has a final comment to make.
Yeah, well, it's the final comment that I'm going to make, anyway. Listen, I have no idea what the research that we did said. And that's really not my point. I'm not trying to impugn the research that was done. But anybody who's worked with research knows you can take a very negative piece and find something positive in it and put it in something. And this is an industry that has been doing this for many, many, many years. This, for me, isn't about investment. I mean, I'm sure what the lieutenant governor says is correct, but I mean, the tobacco stocks have done great. That doesn't mean that I think we should invest in them. You know, that there's some things that one needs to do based upon principle. And I think that the University of California should stand upon some principle. And I, for one, am really uncomfortable going forward with this kind of research, which is funded by an industry. Listen, if we're going to go do the effects, do the research on the effects of tobacco smoking, and it's not funded by the industry, hallelujah! That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're involved with. But if we're doing research by the industry, and there is a potential for that research to be in any way mischaracterized or used to promote something that we all know over decades. I mean, you know, doesn't anybody remember all the presidents of those tobacco companies, you know, sitting in front of that congressional hearing saying, no, you know, I don't think smoking causes cancer. You know, I mean, am I the only one who's old enough to remember that? I don't think so. So, I mean, I just think that there are certain things that one has to take a stand on, and this is certainly one that I'm willing to take a stand on.
There being no further comments, we will now move to...
I have another comment.
You've now over-commented. So we are now going to proceed on the last item, and I will call on Chairman Parsky.
This is a very brief update on the implementation of the request made by Regents Ledesma and Reese.